Apostle John here is interested in highlighting that at the very beginning of this epistle. He describes or talks about a fellowship that Christians can have with one another. He says, in fact, that was his desire too in writing this epistle. He says, we want you to have fellowship with us. We want that. Verse 3. And so this is an important topic for us to consider tonight. And as we consider our church, I'm bringing this up tonight with a specific purpose. Do we have fellowship with one another? Are we fellowshipping with each other? Are we sharing in and participating together in the life of Christ? You see, it's possible for churches like ours and groups of Christians in general for love to grow cold, for connection and participation in the gospel to weaken. Just like our relationship with the Lord can over time wax and wane, so too can the fellowship in a church wax and wane. And so I'm bringing this up tonight, not so much to condemn or criticize anyone, but for all of us to consider, okay, where are we in our fellowship with each other? How are we doing as we cultivate a meaningful relationship with our fellow believers? And if we failed the test tonight, then that what better prompt would there be for us in our prayer time to pray, oh God, renew in us a right spirit and restore us the joy of your salvation. And so I'm doing that for that purpose tonight. So the Apostle John speaks to us about this topic of fellowship. Now, a couple points here as we begin. I want you to see with me. First, notice with me what he means by this. This word fellowship that's used in several times in the first seven verses of this chapter literally means a sharing together. The root word means to share or to participate in. It's used of a partnership or a participation. And when used, it's come to understand the term communion. You've probably heard that term, the communion. We use it to refer to the Lord's Supper, the communion supper. Well, that's the term. It means to commune together with God and his people. And it refers to the mutual interest or the sharing together of a community of faith, which is the church. And it wouldn't surprise you to learn, brothers and sisters, that this was a defining mark of the church in its very beginning. Because in Acts 2, verse 42, it says that they were devoting themselves. Okay, devoting means something not just, well, we're just casual about it, but we're eagerly working towards it. And he says they were devoting themselves to a few things, four things. I'm going to give you two of them. The apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, and what? The fellowship and the prayers and prayer. Those four things were consuming the attention of the early church. Doctrine, eating meals together, fellowship, and prayer. And this was what they were about. They were associating with each other. They were identified with. This fellowship would break out into actual participation in life, where you read in the early church of the book of Acts how those churches were sharing their material possessions with each other. They would provide food for one another. They would provide material goods and take care of each other throughout the necessities of life. That's a kind of fellowship. That's a sharing that flows out from Christian life and love. And so, brothers and sisters, if you could think of it this way, fellowship is the essence of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian? What is being a Christian like? It means to have fellowship. A Christian is someone who has fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's what he says in verse number 2. Our fellowship was with, or verse 3, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. And Paul would even say that fellowship with his goal was his goal. Remember in Philippians chapter 3, what does he say? He says, for me to live is Christ. Actually, that's chapter 1, sorry. But in chapter 3, he says, I count all things but loss for what? The knowledge of Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul says his ambition for life was to know Christ, to fellowship with him. So this is not some side issue thing, but it's actually foundational and definitional to what it means to be a Christian. As Christians, God has called us into the fellowship of his Son. Now, I want you to see with me that our passage of Scripture shows us the root of fellowship. You see, as Christians, we're thinking about our connection as a local church. Our relationship in a local church is only possible. It's only possible because of our connection to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ by the work of the Spirit. You see, a Christian fellowship, a local church, having meaningful connection and real relationships is only possible through the Spirit working in and through the gospel. It's a mystical union, brothers and sisters. It's not something we can just fabricate. It's not something we can create by mere might or human reasoning. It has to be a work of the Spirit. If we are going to have a meaningful connection with God himself and each other, it has to be born of the Spirit. God must do it. It's a mystical union. And that's what the gospel is aiming to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, you were called into the fellowship of his Son. When God saved you, he was calling you out of your life of sin and darkness into fellowship with Jesus. He wanted you out of that to come and to be a part of his people and to fellowship with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a farewell benediction, and here's what Paul says. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so therein, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that experiential relationship with God the Father, is what we call communion. This is the privilege of every believer. If you're a Christian here tonight, one of the privileges of your salvation is that you can commune with God. You can experientially have a relationship with God, and you can know God, you can walk with God, you can follow in his will and ways, you can experience his love, you can express love to him in worship and fellowship, and you can have an intimate connection that is experienced with God himself. That is your privilege as a Christian. Let's say praise the Lord for that, right? You get to do that. And that's what John starts talking about in the first of this epistle. He says, he describes his gospel from a first person's perspective. He says, I have had fellowship with the one true God. He said, I saw him, I looked upon him, I touched him with my hands. He calls him the word of life in verse 1. He says, we have seen the life and we are testifying and proclaiming to you that eternal life. All right? He says, that's what we're doing. I want you to see what John is talking about here in verse 3. I'm calling it an opportunity for fellowship. And this is the root. This is where it comes from. Are you with me tonight? Have I lost everybody? I know you're all tired. You had a long day of work. The opportunity for fellowship. He says in verse 3, that which you have seen and heard, proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He sums up his ministry as a gospel preacher in one setting. He says, I'm preaching, I'm telling you about the gospel so that you can have fellowship with us. That's why I'm doing it. The reason why I'm telling you the good news of Jesus is so that you can have fellowship with God and you can have fellowship with us. I want you to share in this. I want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to come to know what I know. And brothers and sisters, this is why as a Christian church, our gospel, our fellowship is rooted in the truths of the Word of God. You see, as Christians, we proclaim the gospel, right? And we share the good news about Jesus so that others can share in what we have come to experience and share in. That's the life we have in Christ. And this is key for us tonight. Meaningful relationships in a local church only come as people come to understand and know and believe the truths of God's Word. Not apart from that. We can't just magically and mystically cement our hearts and our lives together with other people and expect it to stick. But if our hearts and our lives begin to embrace the truths of Christ, the revealed Word of God, we will, as a result, begin to have meaningful relationships with those who are doing the same thing. Are you with me? Are you following me? You see, it is only when people come to know and believe and have fellowship in the truths of the gospel and of the Word of God that then we are then able to have fellowship together with one another. Because then we have common ground. And that common ground is the word, is the truths of God's Word. You see, and this is key for us as a church. The only way we as a church can cultivate our relationships with one another and have fellowship with one another in a spiritual and meaningful way is by speaking about and talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truths found in God's Word. That's the only way we can cultivate and have meaningful fellowship. Fellowship just doesn't happen. Just doesn't magically pop up. You're a nice guy, I'm a nice guy, and we'll be nice guys together. No, it happens when you come to be gripped by the reality of Christ in a way similar to I am being gripped by the reality of Christ and being transformed, and we together find that we are one in Christ. You see, fellowship with other Christians is a byproduct of the preaching of God's Word. The Holy Spirit teaches your heart as you listen to the preaching of the Word, as you engage in small groups and you talk about the truths of God's Word alongside of other believers. The Holy Spirit teaches your heart. He convicts you of sin. He leads you in paths of truth, and you grow to be united to Jesus by faith, and by virtue of that, a byproduct of that is that you're united to His people, the church. And so then, brothers and sisters, if we want meaningful fellowship in this church, we must not be doctrinal minimalists. We must not be, well, just give me a little bit of teaching. That ought not to be our heart. If we want meaningful fellowship, our heart's desire must be, give me all the words of truth. Give me all the Scripture. We ought to want preachers like the Apostle Paul, who when he was talking to the Ephesians in the book of Acts, he said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He doesn't say, I just preached the gospel to you. He said, I gave you everything. You see, we must receive the words of Jesus Christ. We must desire the precepts of God's Word. We must long for clear understanding of the truths of God's Word. We must want the words of the apostles and the prophets. We must desire the gospels of Christ to resonate in our hearts. And if we receive those things and walk in them, then we will have fellowship with each other. See, brothers and sisters, if we want true fellowship in our local church as believers, we must be active receivers of the revelation of God. The Christian church is not a place for people to fellowship together on their own terms. It's a fellowship for those who believe the gospel and are following Jesus as Lord. Christian fellowship results. And brothers and sisters, here's the beauty of this. If we are doing that, if we're walking in that, not imperfectly, yes, but purposefully, we will find true fellowship, deep and meaningful connection and joy in our church. That's what he says, verse 4. Notice what he says. We are writing these things so that our joy, some translations, your joy, may be complete. The result of this is joy. True joy expounded and experienced within the community of God's people. Now notice with me verse number 6 and 7, and I'll be done. I want you to see here the maintenance of this fellowship. He expounds on this further to describe his message. He says, our message is that God, this is what we heard from him and we're proclaiming to you. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And here's where fellowship comes back in. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now he shows us what is aspects of how we maintain our fellowship here. He says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, our relationship with one another, if it is meaningful and true, is the result of our relationship with God. It's the outflow of our fellowship with God. If you're fellowshipping with God and I'm fellowshipping with God, then we will have fellowship with each other. It is impossible, brothers and sisters, listen to this, you'll love this. It is impossible for you to have true fellowship with the one true God and his son Jesus Christ and it not result in having true and meaningful fellowship with other believers. It's impossible. If someone cannot have fellowship with other Christians, or if they are acting against fellow believers, or if they're disrupting the fellowship of a church wrongfully, or if they're failing to love their brothers, they are manifesting the fruit of their relationship to the Lord. You see, because if they had fellowship with the Father, then they would be having fellowship with God's people. Now, brothers and sisters, we all fall into sin. We all can act in unloving manners, and this is all something we have to fight against. But a true Christian, as the dominant feature of his life, is walking in the light. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. Now, by walking in the light here, he's talking about a holy and righteous conduct. A Christian is someone who ought to be walking in newness of life. God is light, he says here in verse number 5. This means that God has no evil character, and God does not fellowship with sin. He doesn't fellowship with evil. And so in order to have fellowship with him, to walk with him, we have to walk in the light. And so he means that the conduct of our lives are supposed to be towards God and good and righteousness. We should not be cultivating any secret sins. We should not allow entangling sin to grasp our hearts and minds. And if you want an example of what that looks like, you can go back later tonight and read Ephesians chapter 5. He lists there several things: bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, sexual sin, filthiness, foolish talking, having greed in your heart. All of these things are darkness that he describes. And he says you ought to have no fellowship with that at all. He says instead you ought to reprove those things. But I think it's helpful to see that for our context tonight, especially as we think about our fellowship in our church, that he ties this together with love. Go with me over to chapter 2, verse number 8. Notice how he says it there. He says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So he ties there very clearly, walking in the light is to walking in love. It is the nature of the Spirit of God. It is the nature of the new birth, a Christian made in the image of God, to be the instinct, the default towards love. Because that's God's nature. God is light. God is love. And if you're recreated in His image, these are the default aspects of His character. And so, when we think about maintaining fellowship in a local church, sins against love are a grief to the Spirit of God. When we harbor enmity against a fellow believer, it is at best turning away from the light, but it is at worst an evidence that you might not be saved. All of us struggle with unforgiveness, but whenever someone has a settled animosity or a hatred, this person is demonstrating that they are not in good fellowship with God, they are not walking and fellowshipping with the Lord, and they are not living in the light. Now, as Christians, we can fall into that. Examples of this could I did a casual search and found that examples of disruptions of fellowship can be causing divisions or factions. False doctrine disrupts a church. Rejecting Christian truth can damage a fellowship. Lack of kindness or wrongs done to brothers and sisters. Harboring grievances. Refusing reconciliation, to name a few, are ways in which we as believers walk in darkness and disrupt fellowship among believers. Now, whenever breaches of fellowship like this occur in a church, the only way out of that is confession of sin. Well, that's what he says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One person said it this way: confession of sin, tears, prayers, and extending and seeking forgiveness are necessary to restore fellowship. I think that's one of the reasons why David had to pray his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. He said to the Lord, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." He said, "I've lost my fellowship. I'm not having fellowship with you anymore, God. And it's because sin has brought a breach in my relationship." And so as Christians, whenever breaches of fellowship occur between us with God or us with other people, then we must restore, confess, acknowledge. If nothing else, pray to God for grace and mercy. Because again, true fellowship is the result of this work of the Spirit. He has to do it. And so we pray to Him to intercede. Let me pray now, and we'll split up to our groups. Oh, Father, I thank You and I praise You. I'm grateful for Your word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would give us earnest and humble hearts to receive the truths of Your word. Lord, to be quick repenters. Lord, we know we're sinful creatures. Father, we ask God that You would work in us, cultivate by Your Spirit a true and lasting fellowship, a fellowship based in our relationship with You. And Lord, cause us to be sensitive that we would not be the cause of any offense. And if we are rightfully the cause of offense, that we would do whatever it takes to make it right. And dear God, will You please work among us so that as our fellowship grows and as the love and the influence of Your Spirit grows among us, Lord, the love amongst this community can be a reflection of your love to the Son and testify to the goodness of your gospel. Thank you. I believe that's what you're doing among us, Father. I know that's what you're at work. God, give us grace to be sensitive to it and to cooperate with you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.